today as we come to the table.
This is the one we serve. This is why when we see Jesus doing these miracles and doing all these things that he does, that is nothing for him. He created it all originally. And that is why whatever you're facing right now, the impossible situation you're facing in your family or your work or your life or your emotions or the fact what you're trying to decide, do I even want to live anymore? Maybe I just want to die. The only reason you have for existence and the one that can restore what you've lost emotionally or psychologically or purpose-wise or anything else is through Jesus. But you've got to come to him. Well, there's no way I could get out of this. God can't change the way I am or whatever. Yes, he can.
Are you currently facing a storm? You might be thinking it's too late to find healing, but God says to you today, you're not too far gone to restore. It's never too late for your marriage, for your finances. It's not too late to turn your heart back to Jesus as you seek him. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark teaches on the feeding of the 5,000. He explains that there's nothing too big that God can't handle. Now, the timing may not be what you hoped for, but the Lord's timing is far better than any of our plans. Will you put your hope and trust in the Lord today? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 6, as he shows us the true manna from heaven.
John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14 today. Notice what it says there in John chapter 6, verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain and there and sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" You know, there's nothing I love more than just opening up God's word and just reading it and just letting it soak into our lives. I was thinking this morning, and you know, even as we got into this, it seems to be there's a lot of pressure, I think, on the church today, and there's a lot of pressure, I think, on young pastors to have to be entertainers. And if they don't have the right lighting system or the right fog machine or the right band or the whatever, then it seems like that the crowds won't gather, and they're going to find a place that's a little more exciting for the next week. And while I have nothing against good lighting and fun things in the service, guys, it's the Word of God that we need. If we're going to grow, and if we're going to go, and if we're going to see God do things in our life, especially in the days we live, really in any generation, but it seems to be such a crazy generation we're in right now, we just simply need to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear the word of God. And we're going to see today as we get into this passage, the motive of those that are seeking Jesus are a lot like the motive of sadly, what we see in many churches today, and that is show me something special. Do something exciting. Give me a miracle. Thrill me. So that I can say, you know, that I want it. This is the place I want to be. I'll tell you, there, to me, there's just the sure, steady word of God being fed and God ministering to his flock. That's all we need. You know, Jesus, when he walked the hillsides, he was never concerned about whether or not, when he sat down with the disciples, if the amplifier was going to work or not. He was never concerned about the overheads functioning properly or if the lighting was going to be okay. And, you know, maybe if his robe didn't look right on the video production or whatever. He just wanted to feed his people. He said, "I love my sheep. I want to feed them." And there's one thing that not only do I love just sitting at the feet of Jesus and being fed, there's one thing that I'm committed to doing until God takes me home, and that's just opening up the Word of God and just being in the Word of God with you guys. There's nothing I enjoy more. And that's really what this passage is about today. Manna from heaven. This is God feeding his flock, ministering to his people. Nothing fancy as far as the world system goes and as far as the way the production was put together. But simply ministering the true word of life, that is the only thing that's going to be eternal anyway, to God's people so they can grow and go. Grow in him and go for the kingdom of God. And what's interesting as we get into this is just looking at who Jesus is. You know, I want you guys to really focus on who our Lord is. You know, we know that. We talk about who he is, and we know that he's God in human form, but we need to expand our horizons. And I think sometimes we don't even realize that when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about the God of the universe, the God of all creation. When we come to passages about feeding the 5,000 or on the hillside or just calming the sea when there's a storm in the water, we have to realize he created all of this. He made it. He controls it. He holds all things together by his power. It's interesting today, scientists say we don't know why we're not all exploding in all directions. They don't know why. According to science, you guys should all be blowing up and going in all directions. The world should be blowing up and going in all directions. There is something holding us together. It is a powerful force that science can't figure out. Some people call it, you know, the cosmic glue. Some even put God's name in it, if you will. Some of you right now are thinking of, what is that word? Starts with an M? Nobody knows it. Somebody will know it when I say it. They've discovered a force that holds the universe together. They haven't given a name for it. They don't know what it is or where it comes from. But when they look at it, it literally makes the form of a cross. And it's like melanin or something. I forget the name of what it's called. What is it? Laminin. Thank you. It starts with an L. But L is right next to M. So it shows that my brain shift has only been one letter over to this point. Laminin is what they've tried to say to this cosmic glue that they found that holds everything together as to why we're not just exploding off in all directions. And when you look at laminin in a highly magnified form, it's the shape of a cross. God has built into every part of his creation his glory and his fingerprint. You can't look anywhere without the fingerprint of God, and it all goes back to the cross and what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And so when we think about our Jesus and we read this passage or any other passage, we need to realize who exactly we're dealing with. It says in Colossians 1 verses 16 through 7, this is speaking of Jesus. So I'm gonna put his name in here just to make it more magnified, okay? It says, for by Jesus, all things were created. Meditate on that for a moment. The ground he walked on, the trees he saw, the people he spoke to, he made them all. It's amazing to think that he holds all things together and he created everyone. How did that work when he was a baby? I don't know. But the Bible doesn't say that he laid down that authority and power when he was in Mary's womb. The Bible doesn't say he laid down that authority and power when he was being held in Mary's arms. So Mary is holding the very one that is keeping her from exploding in all directions with laminin. Jesus is holding the universe together, the constellations in heaven. He's holding them all together while he's a baby in his mother's arms. This is the God we serve. Let's never think of him as small. Let's never think of him as unable. Let's never think of him as incapable. We only can think of him as a mighty and powerful God that is beyond our comprehension. This is the God that holds all things together. He's holding us together to hear this today. You couldn't be here hearing these words today if he wasn't holding you together, if he wasn't holding your eardrum together, if he wasn't keeping the attention of what's being said. God does it all, but he's doing it for you because he loves you and he wants you to have ears to hear. And so notice he holds all things together. Jesus, they were all created by him that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. That is the physical realm, the spiritual realm, oxygen, atoms. He made it all, everything, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, that is in heaven and the fallen angels as well. Even the demonic realm he created, but that means he's over it and has power over it. He didn't create them as demons. He created them as angels and they rebelled. And now they have become demons, but he created everything. This is the Jesus we serve. Notice, all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. The reason you exist is for Jesus. No, I exist for me, man. No, you don't. You may be living for you. You may be living for you, but you weren't created for you. You were created for Jesus. What are you doing with that? Notice what he says. And Jesus is before all things. He's always existed. And in Jesus, all things consist. This is the one we serve. This is why when we see Jesus doing these miracles and doing all these things that he does, that is nothing for him. He created it all originally. And that is why whatever you're facing right now, the impossible situation you're facing in your family or your work or your life or your emotions or the fact what you're trying to decide, do I even want to live anymore? Maybe I just want to die. The only reason you have for existence and the one that can restore what you've lost emotionally or psychologically or purpose-wise or anything else is through Jesus. But you've got to come to him. Well, there's no way I could get out of this. God can't change the way I am or whatever. Yes, he can. He can do all things. And if we ever say that God can't work in our situation, we're denying the power of our God who has limitless power. There's no such thing as a life that can't be changed. There's no such thing as a situation that can't be changed. There's no such thing as something that you think. And by the way, in the natural realm and in your ability, it might be impossible. I grant you that. It's impossible for you. It's impossible in the natural realm. He's not limited by the natural realm. For crying out loud, he walked on water. He didn't have to obey the laws of nature. He made the laws of nature. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it to where there's gravity. And so when somebody tries to walk on water, somebody goes out in water, they're going to go down. They're going to go to the bottom. But you know what? I don't have to do that because I'm God. I'm going to walk on top of the water. And I'm doing that not to show off. God doesn't need our adoration that he shows off, that we think he just is who he is. God did that to show the disciples and us, he's greater than even the natural realm. He's greater than even the laws of nature. He can defeat them, which means no, whatever situation you're in, God can spare your life. God can spare your family. God can do anything. This is the God we serve, the creator of all things. So again, we're going to see he feeds these people on the hillside from nothing, basically. He gets some bread and some fish, we're going to see, and he creates more bread and fish by this, but that's nothing for the original creator. He could have made the bread from nothing. It's just as much, I mean, why he even used the bread they gave him and the fish, that's probably just to show the disciples, well, use logic, take what you've got and then give it to me and I'll use it in greater ways. But he could have just said, bread be, and there would have been. This is the God we serve. The sad thing is we're going to see that a lot of the people that followed him, again, followed him for the wrong reasons. And a lot of people, as we already said, follow Jesus for the wrong reasons. What is the reason you're following Jesus? Are you following to find out what the event's going to be, what the show's going to be, whether or not somebody cute's going to be there, whether or not it's going to be something that gets you thinking, whether or not, you know, whatever. What is your purpose for being here? See, that's what Jesus wants to probe. He wants to know your heart and what's going on in it. Now, he'll still love you wherever you are, and he'll draw you in, but he wants to stretch you beyond where you are in your heart for him, as well as in your faith in believing what he can do in your life. This, again, is the God we serve. Paul, speaking of the children of Israel during their 40 years in the wilderness, he said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. I want to show you Jesus again in the wilderness. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers who were under the cloud, that is in the wilderness, all passed through the sea, the Red Sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Look who this rock was. And that rock was Christ. Do you realize that the one that spoke to Moses in the wilderness was Jesus? Do you realize the one that fed over 2 million people for 40 years in the wilderness was Jesus? Do you realize the one that said, Moses, raise up your staff, I'm going to split the ocean. And he split the ocean. By the way, it's 10 miles across at this particular place. And with the water displacement in the depth there where they crossed, it would have been a mile high on both sides with water. Scientists say it would have displaced the water for them to go up and be what? It had to be at least a mile wide for that many people to get through in that length of time. In that much water displacement in the ocean at that place in the Red Sea, it would have been a mile high of water on both sides as they walked through. And by the way, he dried the ground for them before they crossed so they wouldn't walk in mud. That's the God you said. That was Jesus. He did that. Now, when you go to Jesus and say, Lord, I can't pay my rent. Oh my goodness. Ah, rent. Now, Red Seas, creation, universes, gravity, I can handle that. But rent, ugh. Now, I don't mean to belittle that because that's where we are, isn't it? Isn't that where we are? Some of you are there this morning. How am I going to pay that bill? I'm not belittling that. I've been there. Listen, it's not like I have such great faith. I would never do that. Listen, when that stuff happens, I'm like, God, please, God. I'm human just like you are. But when I begin to go and realize my God, I'm like, you know what? What did you say? Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added. You know what my problem is a lot of times when all those things aren't added? I'm skipping the first part of that verse. I'm not seeking first the kingdom of God. I'm seeking first the kingdom of Mark. And then I'm doing my best to work it out. God says, Mark, stop it. Seek first me. Get in my word. Pray. Seek me. All that other stuff, I'll take care of that. I'll cover your bills. I'll cover your family. I'll cover your job. I'll cover your health. I'll take care of that. You seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added because I created it all and I hold it all together by my power and I can do what I want and I love you and I will help you. This is the God we serve. And so now when you think about the fact of them being on the hillside, Lord, how are we going to feed these 5,000? I think the Lord just smiling. 5,000 people on the hillside, I think I can handle it. This is the God we serve. Let's get into it. Notice what happens. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And by the way, notice, again, different names, Sea of Galilee, Sea of Tiberias. It has multiple names. It's also called the Kinneret, which was a harp. And so it's in the shape of this harp. They used to call it was a Kinneret harp. There's different names for it, but the same body of water. It's really a giant lake. Don't think of it as the sea like the ocean, but they called it a sea because any large mass of water is a sea, so to speak, but not like the ocean as we think of. It was the Sea of Galilee. It's about 13 miles long, about 8 miles across. And this is where the Lord did most of his ministry. And so, again, why was it the Sea of Tiberias as well? Because the Roman Emperor Tiberius named a city after himself. He built a city there and named it after himself. And by the way, that city is still there today. I was there just a couple of months ago. It's still called Tiberias, of all things, there on the Sea of Galilee. And so he says that's where they were. They're at the Sea of Galilee. And notice a great multitude followed him. Notice why. Here's the deal. Because, and I have that underlined. Because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. Note this, they weren't following Jesus because they wanted him. They weren't following Jesus because they loved him. They were following Jesus because they wanted the signs, the miracles. They wanted to something fancy for the flesh, something exciting. They wanted, do us a show, do something, make this thrilling or whatever. The word of God was not their motive. And guys, as believers, the word of God needs to be our motive. Not chasing after signs, not chasing after miracles. As you know, there are ministries today, their entire focus, or it was miracles and signs and wonders. Come to the signs and wonders and miracle service. I believe in signs. I believe in miracles. I believe in wonders. That's the kind of God we serve. But that shouldn't be our motivation. Again, we as believers are not to follow signs and wonders. Signs and wonders should follow us as we live for Jesus. And when people see that, they're like, wow. God did that for you. I need God to do that for me. Ask him into your heart. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Give your life to him. You'll see him in that power. But they had the wrong motivation. And sadly, a lot of people today still have the wrong motivation. They're seeking after the Lord for what they can get. They're seeking after the Lord for the signs and all this. And by the way, there's nothing wrong in running to the Lord if you need a miracle. There's nothing wrong in seeking God for a miracle. God honors that. He says, come to me. Let me know your needs. I want to meet them. But if our only motivation is what God can do for me, we have the wrong motivation and we have the wrong heart. And so the question for us today is, why are we following Jesus? You know, God wants to probe our heart and find out. Is it to see a miracle or something that might, you know, blow our mind in that sense? Or is it simply because our heart's empty? And we know our heart's empty and we know we need something more. And God is putting a yearning in our heart that we need something more. And so the motive is huge. And notice it says in verse 3, and Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with the disciples. Now, don't picture the mountains like the majestic mountains of the West. They were a lot more like the rolling mountains and hills here of Tennessee. And when you go there to the Sea of Galilee, yeah, there's a couple, one that juts straight up there. The Horns of Hattim has a real high peak and all this or whatever. And you go over to the Golan, that goes up pretty good. But most of the hillsides there are these just gentle slopes that go up. And they're perfect for gathering large crowds and having them just sit down and sharing the word. A great environment right there next to the Sea of Galilee and just beautiful. And if you're close to the Sea of Galilee, it works as a great amplification system. That's why the Lord would oftentimes go out on the water and speak, and it would just cast his voice up through there and be a great witness to the people. But there were a lot of smoothly sloping mountains all around the Sea of Galilee. The Lord now goes up on one because he wants to open up his word. He wants to give the manna from heaven, just like he did in the wilderness, but not the bread type they're going to eat, but the spiritual type they're going to eat spiritually. And so he gathers the crowds to do that. And look at verse 4. It says, now a Passover, Rather, the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Now, it's interesting here. And so now we're right back to the Passover in this passage here. But what's interesting about this is Jesus didn't go. This was a Passover he didn't go to. Now, remember, if you were within 25 miles of Jerusalem, they required you to go to the Passover. Tabernacles and Pentecost, these three feasts you're required to go to. Galilee is farther than 25 miles out. It's more like 60 miles away. So you weren't required to go every year, although it was highly encouraged. The Lord didn't go this time. And why didn't he go? I don't know all the reasons, but I know one. We're going to see next week they were ready to make him their king. And remember we said, until God's appointed and ordained time for him to be their king, he wasn't going to allow him to try to proclaim him their king. And plus, the Jews wanted to kill him. It wasn't time for him to go to the cross. So he strategically is staying up in this region. And he's going to be celebrating Passover here. But again, it's also interesting to me that it's Passover because now he's going to do this miracle of this bread or this manna, so to speak, to feed the multitudes in memorial or commemoration of the Passover when God brought them out of Egypt. And remember, God brought them out of Egypt on a Passover. That's where it comes from. And then he fed them for 40 years in the wilderness. He's showing them he's God. He's showing them that he's the same one that led them through the wilderness. He's doing the same thing for this generation he did for the one that he brought out of Egypt. And so then Jesus, verse 5, lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, now we don't know why he said it to Philip, but he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But notice verse 6, but he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. The Lord wasn't worried about where they were going to get the food and how they were going to be able to feed them. He wanted to find out what Philip thought. Philip, what do you think? How are we going to fill up all these people? How are we going to feed them? Where are we going to get the money to do it? But the Lord knew exactly what he was going to do. Of course he knew what he was going to do. He had done miracles. He created everything. All he had to do was create bread from nothing. This wouldn't be a problem for the Lord. But here's what he's doing. He's growing and stretching his disciples because they were all listening to this conversation. We're going to see Andrew hears it and responds. They were all there and you're here this morning. So you're hearing this as well. Here's what he's saying to you. What are you going to do in your impossible situation? Are you going to start planning on how you can figure it out? How can you come up with the money? How can you do this? How can you do that? Or are you going to run to Jesus? That's the challenge he's given them. He wants us to learn that the first place we're supposed to run and need to run is to him. Lord, what do I do? What do you want me to do? How do we handle this, Lord? And so he's pulling Philip out of his mindset here into a new mindset to get him thinking of a different way. He can fix it, but he wants Philip to learn that God can fix this. And he's testing him, and he's going to be testing us. And if he hasn't tested you, he will. To find out what you're going to do when you face that impossible situation. Are you going to cry out to him or not? So that he can show himself strong. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says that God's eyes roam to and fro across the face of the entire earth, looking for those who he can show himself strong through. I mean, just looking. It's like, who down there will believe me? Is there anybody on the earth? I'm looking from heaven. Will someone believe in me? And will someone say, okay, God, show yourself strong through me? He says, if I can just find that person, I'll zero in and let's get going. That's exciting. It's challenging, but it's exciting because you can be the one his eyes stop on to do something great if you just believe and make yourself available. It's impossible. Well, then, all right, it won't happen for you. But if you go, it's impossible, and then you take the next step, but Lord, it's not impossible for you. I can work with this guy. I can work with this gal. Here we go.
That ends our time at the table of God's Word for today. Pastor Mark is taking us through the book of John, the last of the four Gospels in the New Testament. This book follows Jesus through his ministry while he was here on earth, but gives you a unique perspective from one of Jesus' apostles. John paints a picture for you of the Son of God, a Savior who has all the authority and power of heaven. And we're so glad you tuned in to discover this testimony of our Lord, and we hope you'll continue to join us. Do you have a question about what you heard today? We're here to answer them. You can call 865-609-1385 or visit the Pastor Mark Kirk page on Facebook or visit the contact page on PastorMarkKirk.com. And if you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love to meet you. Here's Pastor Mark to tell you more.
If you don't have a home church, I'd love for you to come and join us this Sunday morning at either our 9:30 or 11:15 services. We also have a Bible study on Sunday evenings at 6:00. a 7 p.m. service on Wednesday, as well as activities for kids, youth, and college throughout the week. No matter what time you can come, each time we get together is a sweet time of community and learning about God. If you'd like more info about who we are and what we do, just go to PastorMarkKirk.com and click on Our Church in the menu.
Thanks, Pastor Mark, and we hope you can join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study of John the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.